Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Welcome one and all to More Insight. I'm your host, Angela D. We thank you for joining us tonight. Hallelujah. For taking the time out to hear what thus said the Lord. We thank God for this platform, Sister Girl Network, Inc. platform ordained by God to meet our sister girls and brother men where they are in their lives and spirituality. This platform is about healing from the inside out, where we stand in truth and through truth of the Holy Spirit, we are made whole. Hallelujah. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. We thank God for his living word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So tonight, so we wasn't on last week where we was doing our outreach, giving out turkeys and gift cards to those who was in need. So we thank God for that. Hallelujah. We thank God for our partners, NBC, Food for Family. I apologize. Let me get that right. We thank God for our partners, NBC, hallelujah, Food for Family. And we also had a new partner this year, Washington, D.C. House of God Church, who contribute to bless those that was in need with turkeys and gift cards. So we wasn't on last Monday because that's what we was doing, helping those that was in need. Praise God. We thank God for the blessings. We thank God for the partners. We thank God for each and every one of you. Hallelujah. May God continue to bless. And so tonight we're talking about some necessarily conditions are required. Now, we have been in a series, the same battle but different vessels. And so we allow the Holy Spirit to take us deeper with that, right? But tonight we're on a new topic. Some necessarily conditions are required. My God. So you might say, Angela D, what do that mean? See, sometimes we don't seek truth. We don't seek change until we are uncomfortable. See, it got to get now. I might be on the outside looking at your situation. You might be on the outside looking at mine. And you might even be saying things like, why does she keep dealing with that, putting up that butt? The bottom line is we don't see change. We don't see truth until we are truly uncomfortable. And so that's what our topic is talking about. Some necessarily conditions are required. Let us acknowledge God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we give you praise and we give you honor. Lord, we know you are all things to us, for you are the lily of the valley. You are the way, the truth, and the light. Hallelujah. You are our King of kings and Lord of lords, our Alpha and our Maker. And Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Hallelujah. Where will we be without your grace and mercy? Lord, we thank you for your tender heart, your love. Hallelujah. We thank you for sending your one and only begotten Son to save us. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day, for this was a new day, a day we never seen before. And we thank you for it, Lord. Lord, we ask that you cleanse our heart and renew a right spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we ask that you heal the broken in heart and bind up their wounds in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time to fellowship one with another. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your hidden treasures. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we thank you for our journey, for our trials and tribulations. And, Father, we thank you for one another. Hallelujah. And, Lord, we ask that you send forth your war angels in the name of Jesus, Father. The war on our behalf. Hallelujah. In our atmosphere. Hallelujah. We plead the blood of Jesus over our bodies, from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you for those that respect your Holy Spirit, Father. Lord, touch our hearts to respect one another, to respect you as our Lord and Savior, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you honor and praise as we go forth in your word tonight. Father, I ask, Lord, I come to your throne asking to download divine wisdom, knowledge, and understanding upon each and every one of us. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, reveal. Oh, Lord, let our hearts open unto you. Hallelujah. For we thank you for every word that would go forth. We thank you for this platform. We thank you for one another. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Tonight we're talking about some necessary conditions are required. You know, we all struggle, and sometimes we have to be willing to say that. Whether we're saying it to another or to the Father, we have to be willing to say, Lord, I'm struggling. Lord, I just can't deal with this no more. I'm just overwhelmed. You know, it's when we get to that point in our life, it's a mature point, right? We have to learn and understand who we are and who we are in Yahweh. See, when we understand that, we can be free. We can be free in our struggles, in our weaknesses because of his grace. Oh, my goodness. When we think about God's grace, where would we be without his grace? Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Oh, because God knows. He already know our struggles. He already know our weaknesses. He already know what is hindering us and distracting us. But we can go before him without blame because of his love for us. So what do that mean? Some necessary conditions are required. In our life, we have a plan. We might write it down and make it plain. But we think about what we want out of our life. And so we might choose a path where we go and we get a degree, or we choose a path because we choose this employment or something. But that's part of our journey, what we decide in our life. But when we look at predestination, speaks of people in a position shared in the future by those who are already saved. If we are predestined, it could be because it is God's will, but we keep talking about our free will. We can let our free will, our will to choose what we want, interfere with the will of God. We struggle with certain conditions that we, it's part of our journey, it's part of our destiny that we go through certain things where sometimes we get so focused in those struggles or in those conditions where we think it's just about us and another at that time and season, but it don't work like that. Because whatever necessary conditions that we have to contend with in this season will be for another or others that will come our way. Each one of us was predestined. Each one of us has certain things that is already in us, and it would take us to get tired of being so bound up, so hindering in our weaknesses and our struggles, so closed-minded, because we chose this path or this journey, and things are being interrupted. But sometimes that's the only way God can get our attention, when he interrupts our plan. Ephesians 1:3-6. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasures of his will, to praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Our lives are a journey to be filled with understanding. Freedom comes with understanding who we are and understanding who we are in Yahweh, who we are in Christ. That's when our freedom comes. See, that's when the chains, even the chains of being bound in religion get broken. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. But first, the knowledge of who you are must be a choice, as far as we have to be willing to surrender. We have to be tired and sick of tired of dealing with the same thing over and over. Not really dealing with the same thing. Let me change that. Not really dealing with the same thing over and over, but how it affects us. Because even in our downtrodden time, in our maturity, we still gonna seek the Father. We will separate ourselves from man because we know our hope is in the Father and the Father alone. Because see, we have a way where we've been vulnerable with one another, and not intentionally, some maybe, but I would say give everybody a benefit of the doubt. Not intentionally would say things to crush that spirit ever more. And so sometimes we have to learn that who we can be vulnerable with, right? To extend grace to those that we can't. Do we understand grace? See, I was then that one that I already know I cannot be vulnerable with. I will extend them grace by what? Not putting them in a position for them to say something to crush my spirit more. And then I'm upset at them. In our journey, we will feel alone, even though we have people around us. But see, that's a time of willingness. See, we have to go through certain dry storms, valleys, desert times, to just spend with the Father. And so even though we're communicating with others, we are in a dry place. So we even feel separated spiritually. And so some necessary conditions are required for us. It is required in our journey, but it's not always about us. It's about us being prepared for those that will come our way. We look at how we talk about God's promises to us because that give us hope. Even when we look at the word of God, see, God is truth. And there is hard truth that we have to face, that we have to receive to be made whole and set free. Those the Son set free are free indeed. Because even when we look at the Bible and the truth come forth, the hidden treasures are revealed, and the Holy Spirit allow us to see how it been tampering, what part has been tampering, and the hidden treasures are revealed unto us. That's why God talks, Jesus talks in parables. Because only those who seek and thirst for the revelation, the hidden treasures, thirst and hunger with a pure heart. Not thirsting and hunger to be over someone or to feel more important than another, but thirst and hunger at the righteousness to seek God for the truth, to get understanding, divine understanding and knowledge about who you are and whom you are in Christ. When we look at Yahweh, you reign, the Lord will provide. God has provided things for us. The awakening within our inner being, being awakened. That controls and fight against the spirit, our flesh, and what's connected to our flesh is our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And so it's not for us to think that we should have emotions. It is how we operate in our emotions. And so even when we walk in truth about our anger, we might pull away or be quiet. Why? Because we don't want to say it. Because let's walk in truth. When we get angry, our flesh would take over and we would say and do things. And so even if we fall short, see, all our instructions, because we can talk about our promises, what God promised us, but we have instructions. We have instructions. We have necessarily things, requirements of us. And they are not to bind us, but to free us. When we look at the conditions of the world, we look at them and to pray for them, to show them hope through our life. There can be some hard truth to face dealing with necessary conditions. Because one of the truths we have to face first and foremost, that we don't like to deal with uncomfortable. We don't like to deal with difficult things. We do it because we have to, or we feel there's no choice, but we don't like to. And so when we're dealing with these necessary conditions that are required, we might not understand why this is what is being required for us in this season, but we understand that this is something that we have to seek the Father to endure. And so we mature not to, we speak about it because, see, one of the things I think we think that we cannot be truthful about what we're feeling. And when we're speaking about what we're feeling, we're speaking it to the Father. We're telling God how we're feeling, but that is not to trust it because as we're doing that, we're releasing any hold as far as wanting to hold on the disappointment, wanting to hold on the sadness, the anger, the unforgiveness. You know, that's one of our downfalls, unforgiveness. We don't want to forgive. Why? Because it's our mindset. It's our perspective of unforgiving. Because when we realize unforgiving is not for that person, it's for you. Because, see, a lot of times we're dealing with unforgiveness. That person that we're still angry with, bitter with, disappointed in, move on with their lives, and we're stuck. And so the forgiveness comes to cleanse your heart and renew a right spirit in you. But in doing that, giving you an understanding and strategy for when it come again, because whatever God healed and delivered us in, we would get tested again in that. Whether it's through the Holy Spirit or through Satan, we will get tested in that. That's why in our maturity, we understand it's not what we speak out of our mouth. It's what is in our heart and how we operate in that. You ever had someone to tell you they love you? But when they said it, and when we look at the word love, that's a word that makes us feel a certain way, right? But this person said that to you, and it didn't sit well with you. But see, you didn't pay attention to that, right? You went on that word. Even though it touched your spirit in a way, it's trying to make you to recognize the spirit that said that to you, but you don't want to see that. So some necessary conditions are required to even see the spirit that is in front of us, whether it's a loved one or not. And it's not for us to see the spirit to condemn them. But see, when we're praying in our maturity, we understand. See, why do I read 1 Corinthians 13:11? Because it's as many as are mature, we must grow spiritually and become mature in the things of the Lord to be broke free from the chains. Paul said, now that you are free, do not be entangled again. And the only way not to be entangled again is to have the knowledge, have the wisdom, have the understanding through the truth, the whole truth, and nothing through the truth, nothing but the truth. To be broke from religion spirits too. Like we worship our pastors and those who are walking titles, we worship them. You already done wrong in that. You're worshiping man or idol, but that's in our growth. We grow. It's like that saying most of us heard in our journey at one time or another. When we know better, we do better, or we should do better. And even in that, sometimes we don't. But see, it's our heart desire, because we can say we want change. We can say we want better. But they can just be words that we're saying to pacify the situation or to shut someone up or to even excuse ourselves in that moment. But all of us have to mature where we're truthful about our own mess, our own shortcomings. When we look at all that God provides for us, it would come down to us to, and let me just stop there for a second. In our journey, you know, we have people in our life that we want them with us. We feel that, you know, they're going to be walking with us. They're going to always be there for us and all. And sometimes God do a shift. Sometimes he do a shift in us. And those that you think going to be there are not there. Or you move spiritually, you're moving quicker than you can, even the eye can see. You don't even realize. And so even spiritually, you're on another cloud. And so sometimes they don't even get you. But then even in our maturity, we get that where we understand, you know, we can't share certain things as we once could because of where we're at. But God will always have a flesh. It could be someone that you have known, or it could be someone you just met, or it could be even a stranger would say something. You could be at a bus stop and a stranger would say something to you, and you know that's from God. You know he have heard your prayer. And he giving you confirmation. He giving you hope. And so in your hope, you're strengthening to deal with the necessary conditions that are required. We each will have them all through our journey. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. Sometimes we are looking for everything to line up with our perspective. Because essentially, it is what we believe. It is what we believe. In our growing, in our maturity, we learn to yield to the Holy Spirit more and more. And even in that, in truth, sometimes we don't want to. Like we can be mature in the things of God, spiritually, have been spiritually awakened, truly, truly get more than we ever could as far as spiritually understanding how the spirit realm is so close to us. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the veil, because, you know, even in our maturity spiritually, we get, some of us, we get a glimpse of the spirit realm. And sometimes, you know, I giggle because I said, you know, Lord, that's how much you love us to block us from really seeing it all. You know, some people would be in a crazy house. You know, but see, even in our maturity, we understand that one of the plans was to make us deny spiritual things, and so we don't want to deal with it. But how can we not deal with spiritual things if we claim to be children of God? God is spirit. We spiritual beings first. And so our spirit is born again, but everything that's connected to our spirit has to line up as well. And the biggest thing is our heart being cleansed, things being revealed through us, our soul, especially as our mind. The transformation by the renewing of our mind is critical for us to be made free, made whole. It's critical because it always goes to our thinking. It always will go to our thinking. So that is critical. I know, you know, this is a open dialogue, but I know you all know. Whenever you want to speak and jump in, you can if something touches you. It's always open, praise God. Some necessary conditions are required. When we look at the wicked, all the wickedness that's going on in the world, we're not shocked. We see prophecy. But in that, we know that we have to be more prayerful. We have to get into the Word of God. So God's most important provision is for the needs of our soul and spirit. It's not about our life being easy. Not about us not having difficulty. It's how we allow it to affect us. Even making people that watch us, we're always being watched. If you claim to be a child of God, you're always being watched. Every word, every move you make, you're being watched. You hate it. The Word of God tells you they will hate you for my name's sake. So we're hated. And so we have to even understand that part. But you know, for me, sometimes when I'm dealing with pain and hurt or disappointment, I say, my pen and God, that's all I have. And so I'll start writing, and I'm talking to God, but I'm writing down certain things. And as I'm doing that, I can truly be vulnerable in my pain and hurt, right? And then if God puts someone in my spirit, I might share. But that's what I do, because I have learned that there will always be certain things that would disappoint us, even people that would disappoint us in our journey. And depends on what we're dealing with, right? Because, see, we tend to forget that everyone is battling with certain things, dealing with certain things. Because, see, I don't know what God has in store, his plans for your life. So your warfare might be different than mine. Where all our warfare is going to be different, even though we dealing with certain things that seem similar, how it comes at us will be different because of how the enemy is trying to strike us or hinder us. So in looking at how everyone is struggling, like go through different trials and tribulations, we have to go back to grace. Right? Grace. Now, in us extending grace to others, we have to walk in truth with that. Now, if you come and you push me down, if I don't call on the Holy Spirit quickly, I'm going to respond to the pushing down. But then if I call on the Holy Spirit quickly, I'll do the right thing. But then sometimes I'm not going to call on the Holy Spirit quickly, because let's walk in truth. Sometimes you react before you can respond. God did not call us to be perfect. He called us to be faithful, obedient, disciplined. And in that, even in that, we can fall short. But see, man has pinned us and bound us into thinking that we cannot fall short. We cannot feel a certain way. We cannot be disappointed. And we must know that in us not walking in truth about that hinder us. It hinder us. God provide mercy to us. He gave us mercy. He provided life to us. He provided the earth to us. He even provide our desires. When we look at 1 Samuel 1, the story of Hannah, she was unable to have children, but what happened? So even in that, it always go back to your heart, your willingness. You were already predestined. So think about this. You're already predestined. God knew you beforehand. But then when we start growing and we have our plans and we so focused on our will, and so sometimes our struggles come because we don't want to surrender. And so then we have to endure necessary conditions. They become a requirement for us to surrender. And us thinking it's always about our free will. We want to control everything. And so in some of those necessary conditions, we still struggle because we want to control. God required that we walk humbly with him. Even think about that. When you can walk humbly with someone, when you could just be yourself, even your messed up, crazy self, you could just be free. Think about that. When we think about humbly walking with God, that means we're willing to face anything that's hindering us. You know, sometimes in our struggle, it can hinder us to walk and walk with God with a humble heart because we walk in a condemnation spirit over ourselves, right? You wasn't there, you know, for everybody, you know, in that season or those times or in your journey, you want to be everything to everybody. And when you're not able to do that, condemnation can come in. Well, you condemning your own self. So it blocks you from being able to walk humbly with God. That's just like company, those that we're around. We have to walk in truth with that. We want to be around everyone, but you have to know your temptation. That's immaturity. You learn your temptation. You learn where you're not strong, where you can't be around certain things because it pulls on that old creature. And so then we can fall in ever necessary conditions that is required for us to walk in truth about the temptation. Because I always say, one of my testimonies I share is when I went in my journey, when God gave me such understanding about temptation, see, when we mature, we see that those instructions, what we are told not to do, what keep us from this and don't touch this, we understand in our maturity that is to protect us. It's nothing about control. It's about protecting us, letting us be free. And understanding temptation, I can remember a certain part of my journey. I knew that I could not go. Family was having this thing at the casino. It was a dinner or something. But I did not care. I knew I could not go to that casino. I knew that was a temptation for me, okay? I knew it was because for me and the casino, everything went together. The gambling went together. The drinking went together. The cussing went together. The smoke, everything for me. So for me to go in there, that was a temptation. And so even years later, they end up doing another one. But I was stronger then. And I was able to go to that one and was not tempted. I was not tempted. But years before that, I knew that that was a temptation. Even though elders around me, even brothers and sisters in Christ around me said things to me like, that's no big thing. That's no big thing. You ain't got to worry about that. All you got to do is do this and do that. See what I'm saying about we have to be careful what we say to folks. If someone is telling you that, nah, that's temptation there, I can't touch that, then we have to step back and say, all right, my sister, brother, cousin, uncle, whoever it is, I understand. And I will pray with you about that. No problem, no worries.
Amen, sister girl. Can I
understand? Yes. Go ahead, sister girl. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Praise God to everybody online this evening, the ones in our midst and outside of our midst. And I just want to say that's confirmation for me because I've been praying about a lot of things I've been going on. And I said, Lord, you know, if I go that way, things gonna tip me. If I go that way, I'm gonna get tempted. I might say this and go back to my old ways and, you know, being belligerent, as mankind would say. And I said, maybe I can do a little shutdown with you and I. And I think that's a confirmation that it's okay. It's okay. If people want to say I'm crazy or this and that because I'm not talking to you, I'm not, you know, doing things I used to, then I will let it be. And so I think it's really a confirmation because we just came out and said temptation. I know myself, and the Lord know me as well. That's something that that's about.
Amen.
God bless you, sister girl. Yes, walk in truth. It goes back to we cannot be men pleasers, right? And in your journey, there's some that's going to drop off. And I have to tell you, sister girl, some of them are family. Some of them are family. And when I say drop off, that means that there would not be a gathering with them. You know, you would still communicate with them, but not to the point that you're involved. Why? Because on your journey, they can't be with you. For one, you know, this is the truth, and we have to stand in this truth. Some people, they love your old creature. They don't want to let it go. They can say what they want to say, but they like that old creature because 9 out of 10, you block people from looking at them and all. So you have to walk in truth with your temptation, and it's about accepting your new creature. It's about you understanding that you cannot keep doing those things and think you're going to be free. You got to walk in truth about bondage, how they keep you chained up in your mind. You got to know that everybody that come your way, they've been sent either from Satan or God. And so we have to walk in truth about temptation, because we will end up in the necessary condition that is required for us to what? Leave that temptation alone. This is a journey, a kingdom. But individually, we forget about that part. It's an individual walk to strengthen you in the kingdom. Every joint supply. But individually, if you're not doing your part to truly surrender and understand who you are and who you are in Christ, then that means your part of the joint is weakened. Every joint supply. All of us are valuable. All of us are needed. All of us was foreknown before God foreknown us, right? There's a reason. We're not in this world by coincidence. Even those that come into your life, you have to. That person might interrupt you. This is just happening to me. This is why I'm speaking on it. You know, all of us have to be reminded. I'm always first partaker. I have to laugh about that, but y'all know I laugh. It's the joy of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. But I'm always first partaker in any topic that comes forth, whether the Holy Spirit give it to me or it's come from one of you all, a sister girl or a brother man. God, I go through it. I God take me and give me truly understanding. So so when I say this, I was interrupted by a situation. And when it first happened, this happened a couple of weeks ago. And when it first happened, I was like, I can't do this. I was struggling with it, right? Because I was like, hold up. you know, goes back to what I said at the beginning. We get caught up in our plans and, you know, we have our own vision of certain things. And we have to understand is that because we was predestined, because we was foreknown, because Christ allowed us to come in into this world for a purpose. For a purpose, and our life is not our, just us. It's not about us. In kingdom, it's not about us. There will always be those or that one person God will send your way, and you're the only one that can touch that person. They might be around others that even might be even more spiritually grown than you, but that one person, God said they need you. And so sometimes even in that, I don't know why I'm not questioning God, but I know this is a necessary condition that is required of me. And so I pick up my pen and I talk to my daddy. You know, it took me, you know, a couple of days or so. And I surrender to it, even though I know it's not going to be easy, but, you know, whatever struggles come with it, I'm going to rely on God's grace. It's okay. It's okay, you know. And sometimes we have to get to that point in our life where, you know what, I'm struggling with this, but this is okay. I'm just going, Lord, I'm just struggling. And every time it comes into your head where you're that condemnation spirit come in, we have to say, you know what? It's okay, Lord, I'm just struggling. I know you're going to get me through it. I'm struggling right now, Lord. You know, we have to be okay with that. We have to be okay with that. God provide us an example to live by in Jesus. Jesus was predestined, foreknew, God foreknew him. When he walked this earth, he struggled. He dealt with Pharisees and scribes, betrayed, all that. He even got so weary in the journey, he asked God to take the cup away from him. It's not a weariness, but sometimes we think about it. We're praying and we're in the Word of God and we're saying, okay, what's going on? But some necessary conditions are required. And the only one that can tell you, that can strengthen you, that can show you why this necessary condition is required is the Father. God is always, the Spirit is always speaking. Oh, my goodness, I'm telling you, the grass, the trees, always speaking. And I'm mature and I'm growing spiritually. We're able to see, hear, speak. God speaks to all of us. It's those that learn, that yield to hear. We have to get out our head. That's why we have to go through the transformation by the renewing of our mind. It changes everything we think we know. Everything we think we know. It breaks us free from that religious spirit. It breaks us free from thinking we have to worship man. See, when we look at the love of God, love and respect, the fear of the Lord. You don't want to disappoint the Father. You have respect for the Father. That's the same with our relationship, love and respect. But in our maturity, when those things, certain things are said to us and we're feeling something in the spirit when it is said, we what? We choose the spirit before that man in front of us, that person in front of us. Now, we might not speak what we're feeling at that time, and the Holy Spirit convicting us or pulling at us because of what that thing, what that person is saying. But because we recognize it, we choose the Spirit. So we can respect that person that's saying it, still love that person that's saying it, but we choose to listen to the Spirit. And sometimes when we go against that, we have to deal with necessary conditions. Our necessary conditions, not always consequences because we done something bad. Goes back to the condemnation spirit. We have to recognize that spirit. We use it on ourselves first. We use it on ourselves first, so we have to recognize it. And recognizing it, we walk in truth about it. God provide us an advocate, the Holy Spirit. That's our advocate, the Holy Spirit. In our growth and our maturity, we recognize what? We recognize the Holy Spirit. We recognize the Holy Spirit.
Can you hear me, sister girl?
Some necessary. Praise the Lord, sister girl. I can hear you. How you doing, sister girl?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking. Kind of just wanted to chime in with the subject on tonight. You talked about the necessary conditions, and you talked about the condemnation spirit. And as I was reading your blog, and you were talking about the conditions that have to be met for some necessary things. I was reminded of Paul when he said that the thorn that was in his side that he asked God to remove was necessary to keep him in a humble position so that he would not be puffed up in all that God had given him in order for him to move in the ministry. And so I thought about that when you talked about what's necessary in the struggle. And then the requirements that you talked about. And as you talked about, I heard the scripture that said that, you know, I'm quite sure you're already there, Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation of them that be Christ Jesus. And the other scripture I heard was that when our heart condemns us, then God is greater. God is greater. Mm-hmm. He comes in by his Spirit, and he shows us the more, as you were saying, that the struggle is necessary. There's something that he's trying to break inside of us. And the things that we may be asking to be removed, just like Paul, is there to keep us in a humble position, is there to keep us buffeted. You know, it buffeted us. It you know how when you're trying to see the internet and it gets out of order and we call it buffeting, it's buffeting and get the right signal.
Mm-hmm.
So the things are there to buffet us so that we can be in the right signal with God, so that we can be in the right frequency that the Holy Spirit is in. And that we can see him no matter how he shows up. Sometimes when we're looking, you know, Judas was predestined. He was predestined to be the one to give Jesus up. And you said that God knows us. He knows the very reason and purpose he sent us here. Of course, we are all sent here, and we have the opportunity to be reconciled to the Lord and to help be ministers of reconciliation after we've reconciled ourselves. After we've been converted over, then we are to strengthen our brethren through our conversion. But he knows the purpose that we were sent here for. And so if we've been preordained and predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, who he came to show us how to overcome this place, he came to show us our true identity, and he came to show us about the struggle that is real. He came to be tried in every temptation as we were, meaning every test. That's what the scriptures say. He was. We don't have such a high priest that doesn't know our infirmities, who was tested in every way we were, but yet without sin. So he's shown us how to deal with the real struggle. He showed us how to take the written word and combat the word when the word itself tried to condemn us. And what do I mean? I'm just using the wilderness experience. I call the wilderness experience word against word. I call it our old man and our new man battling against one another, word against word. We like to say the devil know our thoughts. Why? Because the word is word. It's us. He's placed his word in us. And so as we struggle with our own selves, you know, right, what's right and what's wrong, then the word come where the word say, you know, like I was struggling with this one. Love think of no evil. Love think of no evil. Love endure of all things, believe of all things, hope of all things. Believe of all things.
Right.
So, you know, I was struggling with that thing because I see the evil. I see the swine. I see the dog.
Right.
Come on now. I see the swine.
Right.
And the Bible says, watch this. Watch this how it conflicts itself. Well, Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before the swine and don't give the holy thing to the dog. Now, what Corinthians say, that, yeah, look, why is this word against word? Now, love, think of no evil.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I struggle with that thing. I said, but God, I see the evil. I cannot deny what I see. I can't deny the hate and evil ugliness I see before me. And you told me I am not to keep casting my pearls to the swine. But you also told me I'm supposed to love. But my love doesn't mean that I have to cast my pearls to the swine, nor give the holy thing to the dogs. What am I saying? I'm saying after you've talked to people long enough and you've given them what they need, so you can take a horse to the water, but you can't make them drink. If he's not willing, you said what in your commentary, you said what do we have to bring? We have to have a willing mind and an obedience. The first thing has to be a willing mind. Then it has to be obedience. So I can take and lead a horse to water, but if he's not willing, I will drown him before he drinks. Because he'll sit there and he will not drink, and you will drown him trying to get him to drink the water. So it has to be a willing mind. And then there has to be obedience. So when the word says there's no condemnation, he meant just that, because you have to deal with the spirit of the word. You have to deal with the spirit of what's going on. What is the motive? Why are we thinking what we're thinking? See, this is the first place of self-examination. Where are these thoughts coming from that I'm thinking? Why am I having this battle within me? And then what's the motive behind why I'm having the thought? And then that's where the word come in. Well, you know, if you be, you got to know who you are. If, Linda, you are a son of God, if you're an ambassador for the Lord, then take your power, watch this, and use it for selfish gain. You know you're hungry. You have the power. Turn that stone into bread. You can eat. You that look that dust get you make it some water so you can drink because you know you're hungry. Then you got to battle with yourself. It is written, man should not live by bread alone, but every word that come out of my mouth, now I'm going to condemn myself or I'm going to justify myself.
Right.
So that's the battle. That's the struggle within self. Self has to find out who self is first. You got to know that you know that you know who you are, so that when you come up against yourself, the Spirit of God, the true Holy Spirit, is greater than that condemning spirit, because there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. That's that old man, that enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, because he doesn't want you to release yourself to the fullness and holiness of who God is. So the battle is always the soul. Paul, just wanted to add that in, Sister Girl.
And oh, beautiful.
I just want to say thank you to both sister girls. It was just like a double confirmation. What I feel I'm battling and what I feel like I need to do, especially to get to the Lord and be closer to him. And that's why I was saying I know I need to eliminate things and people. And I just need to do what I need to do to be closer with the Lord. But thank you both sister girls. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. That's I praise God. Thank you, Lord. That was awesome. Awesome. And right to it. And I'm glad you receiving this, sister girl, because it do come down to a made up mind. It really do. Right? It's even touching on what you just said, sister girl. What I said at the beginning. Sometimes we don't speak. Or we don't want change. We say we want change, but we don't want change until we're so uncomfortable that enough is enough until we're tired and we just can't take it no more. You know, and that's when you're in that condition that's required. It ain't going nowhere because you're, and then it goes back to stubbornness. You know, we want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, and how we want to do it. Then it goes back to our mindset of our view, our perspective of who God is. Go to what you say, sister girl. One beautiful thing that God do for us is to show us who we are for real, for real. Because when you know who you are, when you understand you, you can love you, you can respect you, and then you can surrender to the Holy Spirit freely. There's no prejudgment as far as you ain't got no perspective, all that old wash away, what you was told, who you were, how you should think, how you should, you know, all that. And the truth come forth because you have truly surrendered. And understanding who you are is the greatest gift God give us. Why? Because when you understand you, you don't get caught up in the people pleasing. You don't get caught up in the appearance of. You don't get caught up in all that. You know why you operate a certain way, why you respond this way, why you drawn to these things here. Even understanding how God wants to use you. You know, God has a plan for all of us and how he would use each one of us in the kingdom. And so we become comfortable. We come comfortable to the point where we say, you know what? Yeah, I know. I was born for this. This is who I am. It lines up. It all lines up. It all lines up. And so it do come down to us making a choice. You know, we got to walk in truth even with that. I can remember before I truly surrendered to the Father, my biggest struggle was I did not want to let go of certain things. I liked doing them. I had fun with him, but Daddy said, I had to surrender. I had to surrender, but I walked in truth. I would even tell Daddy. I wasn't saying Daddy then. I was like, Lord, I don't know about this. I ain't doing all this. This is too much. I would say things like that. I would even say, Lord, I got to give up this. So we got to even walk in truth with that. Each one of our process is different. Different as far as how and how long. Because we're struggling. We don't want to let go of certain things. We think we're gonna miss them, but I'm here to tell you, you ain't gonna miss all of them. You, when the Word of God said peace to pass all understanding, I'm trying to tell you, all even your understanding, all you can do is say thank you, Lord, for the peace, because you don't even understand it yourself. Then you get to the point where you understand that those things are more valuable than things. The peace, the joy, the freedom. Oh my goodness, the love, the hope, the grace and the mercy. Some necessary conditions are required. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:8-9. In our relationship with God, Humility is essential. God required that we walk humbly with him. There are benefits. We receive benefits in our surrendering unto the Lord. Benefits. Well, this ends our topic tonight. Some necessary conditions are required, for we will go even more deeper in this topic. You know, the blessing part is we learn, we mature, and we understand there's nothing on surface. Hallelujah. There is always a deeper revelation that God want to give us each time we fellowship together, each time we open up our mouth to prayer, each time we get into his word of God. There is always a deeper revelation he wants to take us. So we thank God for that. Hallelujah. So thank you for joining us tonight on More Insight. I'm your host, Angela D. May God continue to bless you and strengthen you. May you thirst and hunger after his righteousness ever the more. I beg you, God, peace. Good night, sister girls and brother men. Be encouraged. Good night. And
good night.
Bless.
Love you all.
Good night.
Love you. Good night.